This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show. Switching gears here, talking a little Denver Nuggets with our guy, Chris Dempsey. Chris, my man. I know we got football season. We're getting close. We got preseason action for the Broncos later this week. I'm excited about that. But because of the Peyton Watson stuff, the Nuggets offseason has never ended. We have been in a deep conversation about this. And like you said last week, we may not be ending this conversation anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's there's a lot of runway to go, to get this resolved. I mean, they don't have to have anything resolved until October. So, I think it's a good and bad, right? So it kind of holds us all hostage in terms of what might be happening next. Because we all want this, we want to know what the outcome is going to be here. But it also, when you're in negotiations like this, it gives time for the parties to, kind of huddle up together and come out with a next plan or their next offer to each other. So negotiations obviously are back and forth. The NBA gives these teams a long time to be able to get some of these done, and sometimes it takes that long. So even if there's, even if at the beginning there's a little, if the relationship gets a little bit acrimonious, or you have time for cooler heads to prevail to get to the solution that works for everybody. So this is a situation where obviously the two parties are not close in terms of what the Nuggets are willing to offer and what what Peyton Watson might want in terms of compensation. So can they come to an agreement, or can the Nuggets find a way to sign and trade him? They have a long way to be able to do that.
Chris, do you think, just seeing random reports on this throughout the last week or two, or maybe the last month or so, that Peyton Watson, or maybe in particular his camp, his agency, they feel disrespected by the Nuggets? When you were talking to us a couple of weeks ago, you told us about the Nuggets coming out saying, hey, we're willing to match up to 30, but we're only going to offer like 14 or whatever it was. And I look at that, Chris, and I go, I get both sides, kind of. If I'm Peyton Watson, I'm going, wait a second, you'd match 30, but you're only going to offer me this? So I could see why his camp feels a little disrespected at this point.
I mean, it's interesting because I was just having this conversation earlier today, and, the question is what is Peyton Watson, what's his fair market value for him? Right now, we know that there's been reports that the Nuggets have offered, $17 million average per year, I believe, is what that contract was reported as being. Then we've seen reporting where Peyton is looking for a contract at least equal to what Christian Brown got, $25 million. So the question really is what's his market value? That's where we're getting this disparity. But also, I think if the Nuggets were in no financial constraints to be able to sign him, I think they would match that. I think they would have already offered him something like $25 million in that area. But because of their financial situations and because of their desire to really actually want to keep him, they're trying to do it in the least for the least amount of money possible. That also allows them to have a manageable luxury tax bill. So, they're trying to do a couple of things at once here. And I just think that their financial situation is leading them to a conclusion that might not be the conclusion that they would have come to if they would have had just unlimited cap space to be able to sign them. And I think that's where Peyton Watson is kind of like, okay, well, wait, if your financial situation was fine, and you would probably be offering the money that, or similar we'd be a lot closer in the numbers in terms of what I want and what you would be willing to give me in that respect. So if that's going to be the case, if that would have been the case in the first place, then this is definitely not my fair market value. So, and then on the flip side of this, you have some teams that feels like they're willing to pay a lot more closely to what Watson might want. And I'm talking about the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Clippers, which that situation is. Who knows where that's going right now. So I might just take them off the table with Kawhi Leonard's situation being up in the air in terms of him being traded and what the roster is even going to even look like going into the fall. But there are suitors out there that appear willing to pay what Peyton Watson is looking for and then compensate the Nuggets somehow to be able to do that. But obviously the Nuggets are in second apron, so now they have to be able to get out of that to be able to execute a sign-in trade. So a lot of moving parts here, but I do believe that that's where Peyton Watson's camp is kind of like, well, hold on. This is what we think we're worth. This is what we think you would have paid us in the first place. So we think you should just offer that to us now.
Yeah, it is. They are in a tough spot right now, no question. Chris, how did it get to this? Is this as easy as saying, hey, they had two guys, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown. They chose Christian Brown to give him that contract. They didn't really think necessarily that both guys would work out to play up to the 20s to mid 20s mark. So they just missed. I mean, does it go back to the decision, between the two guys to say, hey, we're giving Christian Brown the money and Watson will probably end up, he's not going to be this type of a star this early. Did they just make the wrong decision between those two guys?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think it was necessarily wrong to give Christian Brown his money, and I think that's a short answer to that. The short answer to that is yes, they could have waited. They could have just waited and had both of them up this summer. You know what I'm saying? And now you can make different financial decisions given the fact that you would have both of those players in restricted free agents status at this time. I think this goes back farther than that. And, for the Nuggets, this was an organization, especially under Tim Connelly and then Calvin Booth, that likes to sign players early to contract extensions. So I'm talking about a year or two before their current contract ends. Now, you would do that because, A, they think the player is worth it. One, let's just get that out there off the table. But two, you're able to lock players in at some rates that are a little bit cheaper than, say, waiting one more year. The player plays great again, and now you're going to have to pay him more money than you would have if you just signed him the summer before. So, given those two factors, the Nuggets signed players early. And one of the things that they did right prior to the second apron coming into effect in 2024 was you had contract extensions already agreed to or signed or going to kick in for Jokic and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and then Michael Porter Jr. And so what that did, because they signed those they committed all those dollars to those players right prior to when the second apron came into effect. Well, what's happened is that money is really hurting them right now. So if you just take Murray, Jokic, and Gordon contracts right now, those three players account for 55% of their cap right now. And then if you tossed in Christian Brown and then Cam Johnson, that's 73% of their cap right now. And you obviously can't – so now whatever's left, you have to split between 10 more players. You still have to round out your roster. And we see that the money committed, those big salary dollars committed to just a few players – has now made it so that they can't pay really good role players really good rates to be able to round out the roster in a deep way. If you just look at their summer so far, you're talking about one-year minimum contracts to Tyus Jones, to Marvin Bagley, to Alpha Diablo, Diallo, and then the training camp contract to Lonnie Walker IV, which would be a vet minimum if he makes the team. And that's all you can do because you've already have so many dollars committed to so few players. And so because that was the case, and then you signed Christian Brown, you put yourself in a situation to where you're aproned out. And then if you have any player that you want to retain, this was a situation that was going to happen. So I think this is a long runway of the way the Nuggets used to do business that has led them to this point. And Brady, I think this will change as these, you know, contracts start, these bigger contracts start falling off their books in subsequent years. So what you can't do, I think this is league-wide, and this is not just a Nugget situation. Used to be that a team could have and absolutely wanted three, like you got to have three stars, right? Three max contract players to be able to call yourself, put yourself in contending status. Well, now that is going to, in my opinion, what we'll see these teams start to do is cap that out at two. There's no more than two players on a max contract on any team, and more ideally one. Because what that will do then is it's going to raise your floor. You're going to be able to pay, really good players really good money, but you're not going to max out your cap and then be not able to be nimble in terms of adding or acquiring talent or trading players, that kind of stuff. So, in other words, instead of having one player making, Nikola, I think he's making something over $50 million this year, and I believe Jamal Murray's in that same, is very similar to that, and then you have Aaron Gordon up over 30. What I think what that would look like in the future is you would have, like, say, $50 million, and then the next one would be 20. And then what you would have is, like, 20, 15, and then a number of, like, 15, 17, 15 to $18 million players, really good role players, really good utility players. But what you're not doing is your roster isn't top-heavy with salary. That now is making it so that you can't fill your roster with really other good players. So I think we're going to see that with the San Antonio Spurs. They have now paid Victor Wembanyama. He will be the only one making by far that much money on that basketball team. And then, you know, for your Dylan Harpers and your Stephon Castles and those, they're going to be making really good dollars, but they just won't be max dollars.
Chris, what are you hearing about, like, as far as other free agents? DeMar DeRozan's name keeps coming up. I don't know if that's a serious link to the Nuggets and everything that you've outlined with us. Every move I look at and say, do you have move to do anything here? Right. But DeMar DeRozan, that's certainly a name that's popped up, whether it's legit or not. What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, if he's going to play for the vet minimum,
right?
Then,
yeah.
but that's, I doubt it. You know, I mean, he's earned the right to make at least, I mean, he's not going to make max contract dollars, but he's earned the right to not make, you know, whatever that's going to be, $3 million or whatever. So just on salary alone, I would say it's very unlikely to, you know, that he would be a part of the Nuggets organization. I think if that were the case, they wouldn't have tried to, they wouldn't have signed Lonnie Walker to a training camp deal. You know, they've done a lot of knick-knack stuff kind of around to kind of try to fill out their roster right now. And not that they're done and not that they couldn't clear something out to be able to add him in. I just don't see that as I'd be pretty surprised if he was, a Nuggets player in the fall, given the current state of their roster.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Every time I see a story like that, I kind of brush it off because I'm like, that doesn't seem legitimate. That doesn't seem realistic with everything the Nuggets have going on. Chris, my man, always appreciate your insight, and we'll continue monitoring the saga that is the Peyton Watson Denver Nuggets edition here with you throughout the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun to see. It's really fascinating to me how this is all going down.
Oh yeah.
But certainly it is dragging. We all would like a resolution, so we can really talk about this roster, you know, really project it out in a real way. But yeah, I can't wait to keep talking about it.
No question, man. Dempsey, always appreciate you, my man, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. See ya.
Chris Dempsey. I mean, like, I see the DeMar DeRozan thing. And there's heat, there's interest from the Heat, the Nuggets, the Cavs, and the Wizards. But if, I mean, he had a $25.7 million expiring contract that was waived by the Kings. He received the $10 million guaranteed portion of that contract. Is he willing to play on the vet minimum? which is that $3 or whatever, $4 million. I don't see that happening unless he just really wants to play with Joker. It's just a weird offseason, man. It just seems like it's a tired roster right now that still possesses the ability to go into the playoffs, maybe even deep into the playoffs, but it just seems tired, and they didn't really do much to wake it up this offseason. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Mostly WNBA stuff. Yeah, I know, right? You're getting the talk, but can you handle it? We'll be right back.
Your local news during your commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.